What's going on? This is Happy Hour. I am your host, Ryan Happy, and from 102.3 WBAB and 102.5 The Bone and the Roger and JP show, Brett is on Happy Hour. What's up, man?
Hi, Happy. How are you?
I'm doing splendid. How is your day going, Brett?
Oh, pretty good. The guys are off this week, so I was just doing some, I was running the best of this morning on the on our Long Island show, WBAB, and some behind-the-scenes work, and here we are, now talking to you.
How tiring can it be, though? Because I work 12-hour days on Saturday, and then I work like 8 hours on Sunday, but I don't have to be up till like 7 a.m., so it's not that bad. But what time do you get up in the morning? Because you guys are on from 6 to 10, right? And then you do 11 to 2. So how does the whole morning thing go for you each day?
Yeah, I'll back it up even more. We're on 5:30 to 9 on Monday through Friday on WBAB on Long Island with the morning show. And then in between, you know, we're prepping for the next show, obviously the Bone Show, 102.5. in Tampa, and that's the all live talk show, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. So, I mean, I'm there about 4:30 every day and straight through till about 2:30. And then obviously, as you know, once the show is over, it's not like, oh, just go home and rest. You know, I got to pick up my son from school right away and then, you know, take care of whatever homework he's got going on. We're taking the hockey practice, soon to be baseball practice as well. And then prepping for the show for the next day and dinner and whatever else life throws at us. So the day does not end once we get home, even just for the show alone, you know, because we go through, you know, through the internet, search the web and look for, you know, the stories that we want to talk about and just kind of like, you know, send them an email and figure out what we want to do the next day. And even when we plan on what we want to do, I mean, we don't really plan as much. We have our ideas. And then whatever happens, happens pretty much. It's like, oh, you want to do that here? Yeah, let's do that here. You know, and I think that's what makes us successful is that we don't, you know, plan every single second out. Obviously, we know when we're going to do Dead Guy in the Envelope and we know when we're going to do the benchmarks, like the top 10. But as far as like stories, moment to moment, we may have an idea or, you know, let's roll with that. But it's where we're really prepped, but our in-game management is pretty good. We can stop on a dime and switch from one segment to the other, whether a caller throws us one way or the other, or if I say something that throws us in another direction or a sound effect, or Monica says something that we didn't expect, we just roll with it and go from there. And I think that's what's so cool is that we're so flexible with however, you know, wherever the wind takes us.
Well, it's one of those things where I grew up, I worshipped Opie and Anthony. Like, they were my favorite show growing up. I heard them when they were in Chicago in 2006, and then I got Sirius Radio.
Yep.
Like, I worshipped Opie and Anthony. I listened to old Opie and Anthony on YouTube. Every show is on there. And I feel like you guys are the Opie and Anthony of Tampa Bay in a way that there's a ton of prep on the show, but like, I never know where you guys are going to go. Like, it's the same way with Kelton and Drew, but with you guys are very much, because Opie and Anthony began where you guys are at, your flagship WBAB, and Opie and Anthony began in Long Island. I feel like you guys have like the same energy, but you're just not as chaotic and controversial as ONA were.
Yeah, I think now it's hard to be that way. Even if we wanted to be that way, you know, the way the rules are, you know, and the way society is, it's tough to be super edgy I'm trying to think of the terminology, but it's hard to be super edgy these days. I don't know if everybody necessarily wants it. They want, you know, to push that line just enough and see what we can achieve from that. I think we've been pretty successful at doing that. I mean, I loved Opie and Anthony too. As I was starting to come up in radio, they had just come to NEW. So yeah. I missed their WBAB beginnings. So I wasn't familiar with them until they came to WNEW. So to be coming up in radio at that time and them being so huge, where I am, you know, in New York, it was awesome. And then when we got to have Anthony come into the studio at WBAB, couple of years ago when he was doing even a podcast or something else.
I think it was his book. Remember?
The book, right. So he had the book coming out. And we had him in a couple of times doing the Bone Show. But to have him be in the WBAV studio and knowing that we were in the same room where Opie and Anthony were created, so to speak, that was kind of surreal for me. And I don't really get, I meet a lot of celebs, good for me. But I don't necessarily get too starstruck. Not that I was starstruck, but I was really absorbing that moment. Also, when we've had Jackie Marling in a couple of times, and you know, that was a similar thing where I'm growing up, you listen to Howard and how big that show was when Jackie was on it. And obviously Howard's still, you know, huge and doing his thing. But at that time, and to know that, you know, here you are sitting across from someone again that you listen to and being a part of a show that you idolize, it's cool when you're able to take in those moments. And I'm very happy to have had that and still be in the same business that they are, and being on two successful shows, obviously both Roger and JP, but in two different markets. And so to have success and being able to absorb it while you're in it, because it's tough to do sometimes, because it's just, okay, next show. All right, what are we doing next? What are we doing next? You know, being the producer, I'm constantly thinking about, and you know, too, from doing your 12-hour marathons on the weekends and going from show to show to show, you got to be one step ahead. So it's kind of hard to be absorbed in the moment. You want to just, okay, well, does this segment sound good right now? What do we do? Okay, next, move on. So it's funny, like when you go back and listen to some tapes sometimes, and you're like, oh man, I forgot we did that. Oh, I forgot it went there. Okay, so it's. I think we're very lucky to be doing what we're doing and doing it at such a highly successful level.
Well, my thing is I sort of suppress that I'm on the radio, and it helps me with my anxiousness and my like ADHD. Like, for example, me and Carmen went at it on Friday. Like, we were like, I don't think we like each other anymore. Like, we went at it on Friday on the Kelta after show. And like the whole day, it was like people were like DMing me in that, and it didn't feel like I was talking to hundreds of thousands of people. You know what I mean? Like, that's what's crazy. Like, some of the one bit we did in October 2017 that, how do we word it, on the couch? I everybody that night at the bar crawl, Brett was like, dude, that was the best radio I've ever heard. And then it got like removed from the Bone app and that.
Oh, what are you talking about? When you were measured?
Yes, and no, I could not get to attention.
When your Hoppy Hood was measured, yes. And that is a cool thing. You know, it's like you think, okay, yeah, now I'm doing a fun radio show here, whatever. And then to have everybody comment on that kind of stuff, is really cool. Or you do so. That's what I love about the Tampa show is they're so interactive with social media. And as soon as you do something, they're commenting on it one way or the other, and it's great to get it when they truly like something and they let you know that they like it right away, from whether it's in impressions I do or the show in general, or, you know, it's great. And I love it. I love interacting with them too.
You guys bring out the most bizarre callers too. Like, I was board hopping on Sunday, and it was the best of you guys on from like 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And it was the top 10 list of like top 10 most visited websites. And like some guy called in and said Uber Eats, and I just burst out laughing so hard. And then someone said Waze, and I kind of laughed. But that the way the guy said it too, he was like, is it Uber Eats? Oh my God. It's the funniest thing ever.
It's what it's important to them. You know, some people, they look up the top 10 list or whatever. They try to see if they can figure out what list, you know, they can find the bounty on. And other people just like, they're shooting from the hip. Yeah.
Uber Eats.
I just ordered Uber Eats. So yeah, it's gotta be it, man. I did it three times this week.
Do you remember, like, I think it was maybe 2016, maybe when you guys first began. Well, I have two memories of Roger and JP. The first one that I got to get to that was not really spoken about. My favorite memory. Do you remember the top 10 porn categories with Kayla running the board?
The top 10 what categories?
Pornhub categories.
Vaguely.
We had to go to break because we had to keep dumping. So I usually don't swear in the show, but you guys like were new. So like, I don't think you knew how chaotic Tampa was. This is probably the third week in and we're taking calls and it's like, Joe on line two, you're on the air. Is it cum shot? Dump. And then JP's like, yeah, you can't say that. And Roger's like, Jeff on line five, is it Bukkake? Dump. And then we actually had, and I usually never get vulgar on the show, but we actually had to go to break because we ran out of airtime because people were just saying the most pornographic things. I was just like, man, I love this show. Like, I liked you guys since the beginning, but man, that moment, and I was there taking the calls, and it was one of those moments in the 9 years I've been in radio, that moment, I'm just typing in these vulgar words, looking at Kayla, I'm like, oh, this can't be real.
It's so great. I do vaguely remember that now, yeah.
That, the other moment that always hits my heart, this is when I was always sort of afraid of JP, but this is when I got really afraid of JP. I don't know if you're able to guess the memory, but it was when we were doing the top 10 list. I think it was like top 10 dead talk show hosts or something. And uh-huh. I didn't update any of the names on the left. So like they were going top 10, or no, it was dead guy in the envelope. And I didn't update any of the names on the left. So I updated the info, but not the name. So Roger would be like, Jeff on line two. And he'd be like, this is Karen. And then they'd be like, well, what is it? Johnny Carson.
That I remember.
And right. it kept happening. And JP's like, Jesus Christ, what is Hoppy? Hi.
Even funnier, fast forward 5 years later. And the same thing happens. And he has the same reaction. So yeah. Nothing has changed. Not, and it's not from you're doing, but it's not always consistent. But when that does happen, he does get annoyed, and I love it when the listeners get a kick out of that too. When he
and my
they live for it. They live for when Tom on line two. Hi, this is Lisa.
Yeah.
Oh, Lisa. Sorry about that. Okay. Yeah, like you're saying, Bill on line four. Hi, this is Rhonda. How are you?
What I love to.
JP's like losing his mind.
What happened to the one guy? Remember he would call in? I think it was a reference to the Jeffersons or something. Remember that guy? What was the...
It was Good Times.
Yeah, what
I
happened?
I feel like he's called back. what's the guy's name? I feel like he's called back. Is it Florida Evans from Good Times?
Yes.
Is it Florida Evans? Is it Florida Evans? Yeah, we've had a lot of... I didn't mind that call so much because then we utilized like sound effects with Florida Evans from Good Times saying, damn, damn, damn. Or we played the Good Times theme in the beginning, whatever. We turned it into something and then it got a little old and then obviously moved away from it. And we've had some other, you know, troll callers over the years who try to find their way in and they do it for a week or so and then it stops and, you know, we ignore it and it generally goes away. But I mean, you got to expect that doing a live talk show. That's just going to happen. It doesn't matter how you deal with it.
You know,
I think we deal with it pretty well overall.
You know what happened to me? It was really weird. I did absolutely nothing. And this is not my narcissism coming off like a victim. You know who completely flipped on me for absolutely no reason and I blocked him on Twitter was Balls. Like, what the hell, dude? Like, me and him were close. He gave me a Balls box. I hung out with him in 2017, 2018. And then, like, yeah. 2021, or I think it was more like late 2020, he tweeted at me and he was like, oh, you're not done working there. It wasn't like he said that, but he said something really passive aggressive. I was like, okay, Michael, I'm going to block you then. Like, jerk off. I don't know what happened. I was like, dude, like, I was like your biggest defender. And like, you defended me when people would talk crap about me and you'd call in blackout drunk at 2 p.m. on a certain show.
Yeah, I mean, it's with Balls. It's so tough because he's gone through so much where situations where he's, you know,
yeah,
it sounds like he's not going to survive another day. And other times he was like, hey guys, what's going on? How you doing? Yeah, no, I'm feeling good right now. I got a job. Everything's great. Everything's fine. And then other times like, bro, listen, I've only had 12 coronas and it's 10:30. Well, so it's all right. I'm good. No, guys, I'm not. I'm fine. Don't worry about it. You know, so it's, he's had, so if he tweeted that at you, I would probably follow up with him at some point. He probably doesn't even remember he did it.
And then,
so I don't even know if Balls is worth blogging because I don't think he knows what he says.
My favorite memory.
One to the other, or at least he didn't at one time.
My favorite memory of Balls, and I don't mean to talk over you, but I can't wait to express this, was the controversy over the intergender boxing match between me and, I forget her name, remember the intergender boxing match?
With Crystal?
Yes. And Drew Garabo was doing his thing, debating if I should be doing it or not. And people are calling in, I believe. I didn't listen. People are calling in now saying I suck or whatever, which is fine. I'm used to it. And Balls was like blackout drunk. And Balls was my endorser on air. And everybody's like,
Balls. Happy's going to kill him, bro.
And it was like clip of the day too. It was like how back like 4 or 5 years ago, like there would be like a clip of the day rotator on the log where it would play like for a minute and be like, here's what you missed on Drew Garabo Live. And then it'd be like the best clip. Like they right. don't, no one really does it anymore, but I remember for, and it was like on a, like a Thursday or a Friday and it played the whole weekend and it was Balls and Drew going at it over me. And I was like, oh, delightful.
Like it's a radio dream.
Oh man.
That's good stuff. That's what you want. You want to be part of those highlights. You want to be remembered, good or bad. I mean, that's what happens.
Doesn't it get tiring though? I mean, you guys don't really do the like mean spirited radio, but, and this really isn't about any show in the bomb. This is just about like the toxic masculinity thing in radio. Don't you kind of look at it from afar? Cause like when JP gets mad, it's genuine, but don't you look at some shows that might be falling off or becoming dinosaurs in this business? And it's like, do you always have to be such a hard ass? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's tiring.
Yeah, of course. You want to try to stay relevant without it being forced. And I feel like we do a good job of that.
No, you do a great job.
Calta does a great job of that. And I mean, Drew too. I mean, the entire lineup on the bone, I'm not just saying this. We all bring something different, but yet you can listen the entire day and find yourself agreeing with whatever host is on at that moment, you know, and enjoying it. And I think we do a pretty good job of that all around.
Well, what I love too, like I would get it a lot when I worked promotions or the few times I've been recognized at a bar and they're like, oh my God, dude, how big of a douche is Drew or Galvin? I'm like, no, they're actually nice off air. And they're like, God, Drew's show is the worst show. God, or Galvin's open letter is so awful. And I'm like, but you listened. And I began talking back to these people. I would just kind of let them go on and not respond because I don't want to talk bad about my coworkers. But they would right. They would talk smack about a certain thing. And then I began snapping back at them. I'm like, but did you listen? And they're like, oh yeah, I listen all the morning in my car. And I go, exactly. I go, you don't have to like everything, but I go, if you're listening and you're keeping the bone number one in a marquee market where we're getting even more traction nationwide, kiss our ass.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's the Howard Stern effect or the Mike Francesa effect.
Don't say Mike Francesa. Don't compare it because you don't want to burn out in 15 years and then have a comeback that fails. Don't be Mike Francesa.
Well, he did pretty good. He was number one for a long time in the New York market, okay?
How dumb
but
is
it
he?
It was the effect of him without him being so popular, Francesa, people hated him, you know, him being so brash and cold and so matter of fact and you know, Twitter sites dedicated to playing his audio of him saying, this is never going to happen. Guaranteed never going to happen. And then it happens. And then he denies that he says it. So, yeah. and still not caring. But you know what? His ratings were toward the top till almost the very, very end. And it's the effect of, even though you hate this person or you hate this radio host, you are listening every single day to go, I can't believe that this person is still saying this garbage. And that's what happened. Howard had as many haters as he did lovers with the audience. And I mean, you need that controversy. You got to take the good and the bad with it. Obviously, Monica deals with it on a daily basis, whether it's on the web or on the air, where, you know, she's getting sometimes they're worth her being attacked for, but a lot of the times it's just, hey, this is her opinion. And, you know, so she's dealing with that every day. But you start to see, you know, she's getting more, oh, Monica, I love you. I love you. Well, I love you. I don't really care for your opinion, but, you know, I love you. And I think you're, you know, you're a good part of the show. So at least you're getting that bounce. You see messages all the time too, like on the Roger JB page, you know, every day. Oh, I'm not listening to her. I'm changing the channel. And the next day, that's it. I'm changing the channel. Next day, I'm changing the channel. And every single day, it's the same couple of people who are saying, oh, I don't want to hear her. And then they're back the next day.
And it's the same look, bro. It's always some douchebag that has a private account that's got a midlife crisis beard and shades on. It's always some fake tough guy who likes his craft beer, who goes, fear my beard, bro. Like, shut up. It's always those guys. Ugh.
But yeah, if they saw you in person more often than not, they would probably be nice to you.
I've never, ever had somebody say it to my face in person, but one time in Cleveland, it was at like Rovers concert, and everybody was just drunk out of their mind. And this guy goes, man, you are awful on air. And I was like, I mean, I was, but I'm like, thank you. I greatly appreciate that. I forget what I said. I was like, oh, thank you. Oh, whatever. And I walked away.
Thank you for your feedback. We'll take it into consideration.
Oh, man, dude, it's ridiculous the amount of hate she gets, because it's like, I think it's just people want to listen and find something to hate, because sometimes some of her opinions I roll my eyes at, but I'm allowed to roll my eyes. But she's also one of my favorite people because she taught me how to run the board, and we've had good talks, and I consider her a really close work friend. Like, we don't hang outside of work besides one or two times, but like whenever I see her at work, I thoroughly enjoy talking to Monica. But the hate she gets, I'm like, I feel like it's sort of because she's an outspoken, pretty woman who has an opinion, and a lot of times these guys can't take it, because literally you'll hear an opinion, Brett, because she's very woke. She's very in with like the right things to say. And so is Drew Garabo and Senning. So when they say it, it's fine. But then when Monica says it, oh, you bitch, I hate you. Like, I'm like, what? Heaven forbid there be an opinion. It's ridiculous.
Right. You know, I that's just it. I think it's how it's delivered, or how people, everything is open to interpretation. That's what it is. Now, a lot of times, you know, like Monica's Tom Brady hatred, like there's not one thing that will make her like Tom Brady or give him credit for anything. So that might be a little too much, but at the same time, it's great. And when I was able, you know, out of nowhere, taking those drops of her and turning it into the songs during the Super Bowl run, and each day, like, people giving suggestions and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, you're gonna take what you have there, because she's not going to change. And how can we take it, the hate for Tom Brady, and turn it into a funny thing where the people who are against her can at least get some entertainment out of it? Because it is weird to have, you know, now the talk of the town, Tom Brady, leading you to a Super Bowl and then winning the Super Bowl, and everybody's happy. And then here you are, being Monica, going, ah, he's the worst, he's terrible, and, you know, understandably so, because she's such a huge Bills fan, and Brady versus the Bills all those years with the Patriots, it really stuck with her. But it doesn't seem like she's able to recognize anything good that Tom Brady does, whether personally or professionally. So I think that's like that kind of thing where listeners would go like, oh, what is she talking about? And obviously some of the political stuff too, of course. But, you know, I mean, you're always going to disagree with politics. Nobody has ever said, oh, you know what, I'm gonna change my mind now because you just, you know, told me to. It's either you believe what you believe or you don't. It's very, very rare that you're going to change somebody's political opinion on something.
I think you guys cover it well because I'm very indifferent about Joe Biden as I was very indifferent about Trump. I was a fan of Obama because I was from Chicago and it didn't really impact me. But man, like you guys on Friday when I filled in for the first hour and you guys were talking about Joe Biden, this is how I interpreted it. Because this is how I interpret everything with Joe Biden, that he has dementia. You guys didn't quite say it, but playing the news clips of Joe Biden or at the press conference babbling about nothing. But like you guys were like even keeled while kind of insulting him, but not insulting him. And I even said it to Roger on air. I was like, I forget what I said, but you guys are so good at it. Because like if you turn on like MSNBC or if you turned on, like I almost said Rush Limbaugh, but he's dead. But like anybody like... But like if you turn,
on
like,
a replay of Rush Limbaugh,
it's the same thing every day. Literally, you can just replay that. But if you turn on Mark Levin or Sean Hannity, it's like the same thing. But like with you guys express the opinions without being propaganda.
Well, yeah, I mean that's the beauty of this show too. We're not a politically based show to one side or the other. We talk about what's going on in our lives. What's going on in the world. And, you know, when we do talk politics, I feel like we try to go as down, we may have our beliefs one way or the other, but we try to go as down the middle as possible and at least just say, here's the situation. And here's kind of what we think this situation means, or here's what we think Biden meant by that, or here's what Trump meant by that. I mean, you know, even though we were mostly, I guess, pro-Trump on the show, I would play the sound clips and whatever and joking around. And we would say when Trump did something wrong, and we will say something when Joe Biden does something right. That's just, you know, you got to give credit where credit's due. And you've also got to call politicians out when they're not doing the right thing, whether they're on your team or not. Just like a lot of people have trouble doing that. But I think, like you said, we're pretty good at kind of saying, here's the situation. And, you know, you decide from there.
Well, also the media completely protects Joe Biden, and increasingly as well, every day it gets worse. It really pisses me off how they just protect him. So the amount of sound bites that we got from Trump, it got a little old. It was like, okay, Colbert, okay, Jimmy Kimmel, we get it. Trump's a douchebag. But man, the Joe Biden bites that you play, I didn't realize. Like, I try to be up to date with the news, but I never heard the hairy leg thing. And like, nobody talks about the dog face pony soldier thing. Like, the amount of one liners that dementia patient gives us, I mean, it's going underappreciated. That's what I don't like about the media, Brett, is it's like, if you're going to go after Trump forever and ever for saying all these dumb things, I'm like, for example, like Chrissy Teigen going off of Twitter, it's like she was like acting like Biden was cool. I'm like, no, he's a bumbling old man. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting more sound clips like that. Like I said, it's no matter what side you're on, you gotta laugh when things are funny, and you've got to call your team out when they're doing something wrong. Like, you know, I'm a huge Yankees fan. If they're not playing well, I'm going to say they're not playing well. I'm not going to say, well, you know what? They're the Yankees. They won 27 championships. That's it. You know, they're the best. There's nothing they can do. You have to, when your political side, when your political team is not doing what they're supposed to be doing, and it's kind of obvious, you got to kind of call it out. And I think that's what we do a pretty good job of on the show.
So, I used to hate the Yankees just because it was like, I hate the Yankees. Now I don't care. I don't know what happened with my opinion on sports. I will say the one thing I do hate more than anything is Aaron Rodgers. He's probably my Tom Brady, but he's also
because of Green Bay, Chicago.
Oh, No. You know who my Tom Brady is?
Guess.
Yes.
You're in football?
Yes.
Who did he play for your team?
Yes.
I
think my hatred for this man is probably more. I know Monica hates Tom Brady, but who I'm about to tell you that I hate more than anything, I hate him more than Monica hates Tom Brady, and that would be Jay Cutler.
Jay Cutler.
There is nobody. Bro, like I was revisiting the 2010 championship game when he gave up on the Bears. Bro, I forgot how much of a dirtbag he was, man. Like, do you remember that game against the Packers when he just gave up?
Yep. And kind of ran himself out of Chicago, more or less.
But, like, it took 5 years, and then, oh, man. I've often said, I don't think he was meant to play football. I think somebody told him, you're good at playing football, you should play. Because he had no interest, bro. Like, the only time he ever beat the Packers was because it was like Aaron Rodgers was injured, and I remember that game. Like, I don't know if you have any sport memories, because, I mean, New York's been pretty successful. Maybe it would be the Knicks versus Michael Jordan, but where you just hate that athlete because they just beat you every time.
Yeah, in the moment, yeah. I'm trying to be, as I get older here, be a little more appreciative of those great athletes that beat you. Like, yeah, right. Like at the time, like, Michael Jordan, because I did grow up in those 90s Knicks teams, those late 80s, early 90s Knicks teams. And, you know, and, oh, God, Jordan again. It's like it was so frustrating. But now looking back, it's like, okay, you know. It's, you got to appreciate, like, you know, like LeBron now and all these great athletes now. You got to appreciate, even when they beat you, you don't have to be happy about it. But I don't know if you should get to a point where it ruins your life, because it just doesn't make sense, unless you're betting on games every week, and then that's a different story. Then they truly are potentially ruining your life if they're not doing what you're supposed to. But thankfully, I'm not.
Well,
I'm not betting on anything.
I look at Dave Portnoy's social media and I go, I respect it, but I'm never betting. It's just never. Yeah. It just seems too chaotic. Like when you watch their videos, I'm like, I like watching it from afar, but I'm just so good.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have the time to put in into all that. It's just,
could you imagine being Dave?
Or the money. I don't have the time or the money to put into that stuff.
Do you ever look at somebody? Cause like, I feel like Dave Portnoy is like the new Howard, and like in a way that everybody wants to interview him. Like, can you imagine being him? And this is a first world problem, but like, who do you trust? Because you got over 2 million people on Twitter that want to be you, and then you are either hated by the left, or like, what do you think that's like being Dave Portnoy, where you created a sports blog that was just kind of for dudes? It was like the Spike TV of newspapers, and it goes to be this like conglomerate. I just find, I'm not the biggest fan of the website's content. I think it's a little too bro-y, but I find Dave Portnoy to be fascinating, bro.
Yeah, he is. And I could see where people would not like him and worship everything about him. And I feel, I've never met the guy, I feel like he doesn't care at all what you think.
He's like Anthony Cumia.
He's gotten to a point where he says, I'm going to do this, whatever it may be. And JP's fascinated by the pizza reviews. And why would we want to see someone eating pizza all the time and giving the reviews on it? Well, because he goes around, he started in just New York doing, you know, those pizza reviews, could just go down block to block because there's obviously so many in Manhattan. And then it turned into, he's going on a road trip to Florida, he's going to Wisconsin, he's, you know, Jersey, Connecticut, wherever he's going around the country, he's now doing pizza reviews, and he turns into an app, and he turns into this, and then, you know, millions of views later, and you've become this huge thing just for eating pizza. And he was probably told, hey, you sure it's the right thing to do? And then he's like, I don't care. And he just keeps doing it. And I feel like that's what he does, whatever he wants to do. And I think to be successful, you just got to do what you feel is right. And then and the people who want to follow you will follow you. And the ones who won't. And you just hope that the ones that do are way more than the ones that don't, and then continue to spend the money and buy your product, whatever it may be.
Well,
and I think that's where he's, the position he's at. I don't think he cares who likes him and who doesn't. He just does what he wants to do, and he's, you know, he's rich enough now. He's got the ability to do that.
He's so rich.
Woo-wee. But he's put in the time, the effort, you know, to build Barstool to what it is. And it's really cool to see those kinds of stories, like him or not.
Over the years of working in media and just doing whatever you've done, because you're a little mm-hmm. bit older than me. The people that got their big breaks early on compared to the people that worked longer to get their big breaks, who would you rather be?
Meaning what? Like catching on later, if I caught on later on.
But you were like working at your craft. And this goes with anything. It goes with radio. It can go with painting. It can go with being a home nurse. Would you rather be somebody that had it all within the 20s but then fizzled out in your 30s? Or would you rather like not have it all in your 20s and then once you reach your 30s or maybe even like late 30s into 40, then you achieve it? You look at like Mancow in Chicago, and like at 25, he was the host of the morning show, and now at 50, he's made millions, but he's not on air anymore. And I grew up listening to him. But then you look at Howard, who kind of began later. It's like in your life, who would you rather be?
I think you have to take every moment that you can take. Like I was lucky enough to get. I started interning at 18. I got hired like full time a year later, but in making no money and doing three different jobs. I was morning show producer, like a promotions assistant, and I helped out in the production department doing commercials. So I'm working pretty much a similar schedule now that I'm working today, but for barely minimum wage. And that was a lot of work, but you know what? I'm thankful that I was able to do it. I wish back then I was a little more aggressive, even though I was pretty lucky getting hired full time and doing stuff. I wish I was a little more aggressive to getting fully what I wanted, whatever it may have been at that time. But I think, you know, like now, I mean, I'm not getting younger. None of us are, but I feel like now I'm in the stride right now. I feel like where I'm exactly where we need to be. And I'm looking to continue to move forward from here. So I think you just got to take where you can't worry about where you were. You can't worry about what's going to happen. You have to go, okay, this is the opportunity that I have right now. And this is where I'm going to go with it. And we're going to try to evolve it. And the ability to do so like you're doing right now, we're on the podcast here. That was not around. The ability to do that 15 years ago was not really, I mean, it was there, but now it's just become so much easier, but also the market's more saturated at the same time. So there's a lot, you obviously, you know, and you've been doing it, you've been pushing through, and how you got to make that mark. And I just started doing a video podcast, like Side Splitters Comedy Club. They're in New York, there's Governor's Comedy Club. They're a staple of Long Island. So many comics have come up through there and still to this day come back, and they have a podcast radio station, Govs Radio. And my friend Tom had just started doing like a Cars themed podcast, but like, it's called Cars and Comedy, and it's just whatever, but mostly Cars theme. And I don't know that much about cars, but he obviously knows. I've known my friend Tom for like, you know, 25 years now. And he's like, "Do you want to do the show with me?" So, all right. So we just started doing that. We were a few episodes in trying to feel things out. I probably wouldn't have done it, you know, offhand, but having the ability to do it and being attached to a name like Governor's Comedy, you know, on Long Island in this area is pretty huge. So I'm doing that. I just started, you know, doing DJ shifts on the weekend or fill in on WBAB on Long Island. So, you know, just trying to take that next step and making sure that I'm doing everything that I can do to make sure that we're in this. We're not looking back and going, boy, I wish I did that.
Yeah, I just think a lot of times when people critique other people, it's them projecting their insecurities on others. You know what I mean? Like if you're really critiquing what somebody's doing, you're either threatened or you're just insecure. Cause like it's something I've worked on, but I've noticed like whenever people run their mouth, I'm like, well, if I was like using a podcast room and bothering somebody 5 years ago and they were trying to do work, I would get being mad at me. But I'm like, if I'm growing and doing better in life and I'm in a nicer apartment and like I'm getting airtime, like why would you possibly care? Because if you're projecting that you're so great, I shouldn't bother you. You know what I mean? And that's about anything. It's like I've always thought that way about anybody. I'm like, why would you possibly care what someone else is doing? Like you don't know them. You know what I mean?
And it's good that you're recognizing that. I've only recognized that aspect of thinking in recent years. For you to have it now is the best thing that you can do. And you, it will only make you better. And I think like a lot of, like I was just saying with Dave Portnoy, he doesn't care in a good way for him. He doesn't care what people think and he's going to do what he thinks is right to do and whatever's controversial or not and push through. And that's what he's done. And obviously it's worked. For some people, it may not work, but as long as you go down knowing that you've done everything that you can and you know, like Frank Sinatra, you know, I did it my way. As long as you do it your way, you know, there's nothing to look back on. And so I think you having that mindset now and knowing, you know, people trying to knock you down outside of an entertainment aspect, you know, like for a radio show or something like that, if, you know, behind the scenes, if people are really busting your balls, there's a reason for, like you said, the insecurity, or they're intimidated by you in some way, shape, or form, where they think you know you're going to surpass them in some way. So it's good that you have that line of thinking now. That applies to any aspect in life, I believe.
Well, if people want to hear the wise words, how do you say your last name first before I kiss your ass, Fumara?
Fumara.
If people want to hear the wise words of Brett Fumara, how can they check your work out online and where can they hear Roger and JP?
You can hear Roger and JP mornings on WBAB on Long Island from 5:30 to 9. That's 102.3 WBAB. You can stream them in a whole bunch of different ways. WBAB.com is probably the easiest. There's a free WBAB app. There's the free Bone app where you can hear them middays on 102.5 The Bone in Tampa. And theboneonline.com for that. And follow at Roger and JP for the show on all social media. And you can follow me at Radio Brett also on all social media, essentially Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat.
Well, dude, it's been a bundle of joy having you on. Thank you for always letting me vent whenever I'm annoyed about things. And keep up the good work.
Anytime, my man.
Awesome. Thank you, bro.
Thanks, Hoppy.